Good morning, Quarantine Tag! What's happening, everybody? We're bringing you a special episode of the TagCast where we're all in fucking quarantine, son! How you doing, Finn?
I don't have ears anymore.
That was brought to you by St. Patty's Day, which is today, and Guinness. And I haven't even hit the car.
Yeah, well, as the enthusiastic optimist has already got us rolling, welcome to the TagCast. We got a packed house tonight. We're joined by Hybrid Havoc and Anthem as well. Hello, gentlemen. How you doing?
Doing good.
What's up, guys?
Yeah, you guys staying healthy out there in your respective social isolations?
Yeah, our state just had our first death today, so
that's
a downer.
Same. But.
Ouch.
I'm doing good.
Well, hey, you know, it's interesting how we can be part of this hobby of video games, which so many people have deemed us as social isolationists for so many, many years, and now everybody's doing it. So
you almost said so many memes.
True.
Which is also
so
true.
Welcome the rest of the world to what our lives have been like. Though we communicate on a daily basis across the country with no problems, right?
Yeah.
So, well, with all the stuff that's been going on, I hope everybody's doing their job and keeping their hands clean and washed and making sure everything's going well. The weather's going to start getting warmer. So, as you know, a great man or somebody once said, that just solves everything, right? So let's just enjoy it and make it happen. By no means am I endorsing the weather making the coronavirus go away. That was a terrible joke. I should stop talking, right?
Yeah, can we cut that?
That was a nice positive note, Finn, and I think we can all just hope that the next 2 to 4 weeks, there's some relief. I'm hoping closer to 2 weeks, but realistically, probably more like 4. Some people are saying 2 months. Whatever it is, let's just all be cool to each other, be civil
and
to each other.
And stop buying all the damn toilet paper.
Hey, look, I'm proud to be from Arizona. We bought all the fucking toilet paper. Y'all got nothing. I can't even, I'm ashamed right now. I don't even know what to say.
I think we need to get Are You Dead on some bidet lessons for everybody, so.
Video tutorials?
Whoa.
Do you think you can mount it, like, right next to the bidet in the toilet so we can get, like, prime aiming advice?
Wow. Wow, this podcast has gone places I've never expected, and today it's definitely taken one.
You know
of
how
those
in video
turns.
Games they have the kill cam?
Exactly.
It all connects, guys. It all connects. Well, let's move on to some stories. First of all, I don't know if you guys heard this, but pretty much everything has been canceled. Everything. Like, schools, just sporting events. I mean, everything's been shut down, postponed, all sorts of things. And that doesn't exclude video game things. EA has stopped its competitions and other gatherings. South by Southwest Game Developers Conference was postponed. I don't know if they're going to actually be able to make that up or not. But the biggest one, though, was E3 officially shutting its doors for this year. Microsoft and Ubisoft will also still host their digital events, so we'll still get those tasty videos and world premieres, if you will. I think that this is kind of interesting that all this stuff is going down and canceling everything is a big deal. So I don't know about you guys, but with this happening, do you think that the game plans of all these companies is going to change drastically going forward since they won't be able to follow their traditional marketing routines?
Yeah. I mean, I definitely think most of the gaming industry right now is probably really trying to shift quickly. That's why I think it's kind of strange that we've seen so much information from Microsoft recently. And we'll talk more about that later, but I think most of them are probably changing up a lot of their timetables right now.
I mean, are any of you guys bummed about some of these things being canceled?
I always get my news online, so it doesn't really affect me that much. I mean, I always look forward to the show, sure. but I never go to the show, so it doesn't. It's not really going to change anything for me sure. personally. That's my
yeah. I'm in a similar boat. I don't even like even when these events are going on. I know they always have like live streams and stuff, but I rarely even tune into those. Only if it's pertaining to.
Yeah, I yeah, usually exactly. wait for the summary. Right. Because I'm like, I don't need like 12 like, hours of this guy. Yeah.
Last time there was something highlight. Announced, I like turned it on and they were talking about Halo and I got super lucky and I got to see whatever it was live. But if something like that doesn't happen, then I never watch.
Fair. I mean, I think it's also worth mentioning with all the stuff that's been going on, not only has events been canceled, but the sheer network overload that's been going on with the internet, especially here. Xbox Live has had issues a couple days in the last week. Nintendo Online went down today. I don't even know if it's back up yet or not, but I mean, it's clearly we've seen different other companies having issues with their number of people accessing their software, just struggling to keep up with the amount of people because everybody's home now.
Yeah, I saw Fortnite even earlier today was having
That's
issues.
That's wild. I mean, it's crazy what's happening right now, but I don't know. I read an article that maybe even E3 was just on its last legs anyways. There were some other things going on. One of their main persons stepped down very abruptly, and there's not a lot of information as to why, but it was just interesting that he stepped off. And one of the organizers that really has run it for the last few years. So I've read some articles just saying, is E3 dead? Like, is there a point of having E3 anymore with things like GamesCon really taking over and being a much more well put on show and product for everybody involved, developers and fans alike. So we'll see what happens. GamesCon still is going on right now. So hopefully we get that. Come fall and we can see what happens there. Another really interesting news story I thought was Reggie Hop, you're gonna have to help me here. Reggie Fils-Aime?
I don't know if I was ever
good
at pronouncing his name. Fils-Aime. I think yeah. it's Fils-Aime.
Well he's
don't quote me on that. Stud Knuckle may stab us, so just chill,
be cool,
stud,
man.
Be cool.
Well, he joined GameStop's board recently, and because he can apparently fix anything. So let's see what he does. I mean, GameStop's been struggling lately with all the used game sales kind of drying up with everybody going more digital with things. So I read an article that there were some interesting GameStop prototype stores being redeveloped around the country for different uses, like more like internet cafes or gaming experience places that you can go and sit down with your friends and actually game at, like as a rental type thing.
Oh, that's kind of an interesting idea.
Yeah, so GameStop obviously has to make a shift. I mean, they have to make a change because I think their old model of making money off of used sales is not going to float them anymore. So I mean, when's the last time any of you been in a GameStop?
Dude, that's been... I was at the mall like 2 weeks ago, and I like looked at it, and I was like, man, I used to have so much fun going in those stores, and I did not have any desire to even...
I went... Really around a year ago, before the Elite 2 controllers came out for a few months, and my Elite 1 was kind of getting a little busted up. I traded it in and got the white Elite controller. Like they did like a
special or
You know, I told them the condition. Yeah, and that was the last time I was at a GameStop, so it was about a year ago. I mean, I buy all my games digitally for the most part. And it was weird because I remember when GameStop used to be all about games, but with the transition to digital, they carry a bunch of
like toys and stuff, right?
Stuff.
Like accessories. Yeah.
Like collectible stuff, stuff that just takes up space. I'm like,
they bought
some
store, like ThinkGeek or something, or
yeah, that sounds like correct.
It's like game adjacent merchandise. But yeah, I mean, like, this has been a long time coming, and what's interesting to me is that they haven't pivoted like wildly yet. You know, the fact that they've been trying to hold on to the same business model for so long. When, I mean, the writing to me has been on the wall for a long time.
Well, yeah, I mean, as soon as like the 360 and the PlayStation 3 started allowing expandable memory and stuff like that, and downloading games digitally.
Though, yeah, that one I think really, because those you can still run the games right off the machine, right off the disk drive. I think when the Xbox One and the PS4, that was definitely, because I mean, none of those games run off the disc. It has to install every single game. Once we got to that point, I was like, there's not too much longer that they can hang out with this model.
True. I mean, it'll be interesting to see what GameStop ultimately evolves into over the next few years, because it definitely has got to figure something out.
The interesting thing is Nintendo is still a very, they do digital download, but they still sell a ton of their games on little chips. So Reggie might be the guy to do something and maybe make it some sort of Nintendo haven. I don't know. It'll be interesting to see what Nintendo's plan is going forward, which we won't know about for another 6 months.
I think Reggie is the man. I think he's so cool. Like, everything I saw him do with Nintendo was awesome. But
he was very, the thing I liked is he had a really nice attitude, and he never seemed like he wanted to compete with the other two and what they were doing. He wanted to carve a niche out of his own for Nintendo. Right.
And he seemed like he had a really good connection with the community.
So maybe he can.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think maybe he can do the same for GameStop. He can figure out what that connection is to gamers in a way that
keeps
GameStop running.
The first thing I thought when I saw this news was like Phil Jackson taking over the Knicks. Like he's great, but I don't think there's anything he can do for that company.
Well, I mean, I compare Reggie a lot to Phil Spencer. I mean, they've both really care about the product and they care about the brand and want it to move it forward and do a lot of things that are designed for gamers and things that are going to be genuine experiences for us as a hobbyist in this video game world. So I don't know. It'll be exciting to see what happens with, if really he does anything at all. Maybe he's just going to be sit there and like just sit back and watch the ship burn. And
if anybody can do it, it's him, I think.
True.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys are paying attention, but on Monday, pretty much every major game outlet released articles detailing the Series X from Microsoft. This is what we've been waiting for, hasn't it? I mean, we've been wanting to know specifically what is going on with this console. And Microsoft even dropped videos of and pictures of all the parts and things related to this console that we're about to get, maybe this year. And even the controller itself. So, I don't know, Hybrid, you seem to be pretty technically knowledgeable about this stuff. Anything stood out to you, like a quick rundown of what's going on with this next console, the Series X?
Yeah, I mean, yesterday was almost like information overload. You know, I mean, it was articles from everywhere, although they were all kind of covering the same material. So if you saw one, you pretty much saw them all. Some of the videos that came out were really good. I thought Digital Foundry's videos were pretty excellent. Just taking a look at the specs of the thing, man, this is a beefy system. I mean, like, if you were to spec out basically the same system as a PC right now, you're looking at like close to $1,000. It's pretty nice.
Did you say it's like a refrigerator?
Yeah. It looks like one. It's probably slightly more powerful than the refrigerator, I would hope. Although I guess it is 2020, so
you never know.
I mean, you gotta love Microsoft for catching onto those memes and playing into that. That was awesome.
No, I thought it was hilarious.
Mm-hmm. But so probably the big standout things to me, there are really two. One is, of course, the CPU. I've been saying for a long time, like, this is going to be the biggest difference between the current generation and the next generation is the difference in the CPUs. This one, we're going to have an 8-core Zen 2 processor at 3.8 gigahertz. That's huge. Like, consoles in the past have always been, even when they're CPUs that are kind of already from computers, like they're kind of computer equivalent architectures, they're like way underclocked. They're like the low power stuff you'd see in laptops. That's not what this is.
The cell
right. Yeah, this is basically the equivalent of like a Ryzen 7 3700X.
I'm not going to lie. There was some rising wood when I read those articles about that CPU. I was like, whoa.
Yeah, like that's nice. Pretty nice. And then the other big ticket item, of course, is the NVMe SSD storage. And that's been a lot of, like, that's left a lot of questions for people with the expandable storage. But that's pretty big too.
Before we get into that, the third thing that I think was awesome, and they showed it off and people kind of had doubts built into the hardware, was the real-time ray tracing. When I saw that, I was like, oh, right. Wow, that's sick. That's tomorrow, and we'll talk about, I'm sure we'll get another episode in, but tomorrow Sony's going to reveal their specs and we'll see what's different. I feel Microsoft is really, really, really confident with their machine. The fact that they basically brought Digital Foundry in to run their, have fun with it, is pretty, speaks for themselves as far as feeling like the device is a prime machine.
Yeah,
but anyway, the storage thing, I think that's, there's good and bad, right? I saw a lot of people complaining, and I'm like, but it's in order for it to do the things, the speed they wanted to do, this had to happen.
I mean, there's got to be a natural evolution in things, right? I mean, eventually something has to behave differently than what we're used to.
Well, you know, some people are complaining, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you can't get the kind of speed they need without going directly to the access of the CPU. So they had to make a new kind of bus and not rely on what's already out there.
Like, I mean,
yeah, and we were kind of talking a little bit on the Discord about that earlier today and just kind of comparing it to sort of what most people would expect them would have expected them to go with, which is just the USB 3.2 2x2. Whatever, which even that has like a theoretical max of like 2.5 gigabytes per second, which is, I mean, even that's still slower than this, you know? Yeah. So,
I mean, I think the big thing, like what we're talking about here, is the fact that the Series X will be able to play Series X games as well as backwards compatible games. But if you have an external hard drive that uses the USB port, you would only be able to play Xbox One and Xbox 360 and original Xbox games through the external hard drive, if you will. But Series X games have to be on this NVMe SSD drive that's on the Series X console itself.
Right.
Right, and there's two expansion ports, so you can put two more in there.
And
I think there's just the one.
One? Okay, one. Then they do offer you you can move your Series X games onto a regular USB drive. You just can't play them on there. So if you need space temporarily to install a new game while you wait to order, so that's kind of, that's
it. It saves you having to download.
Right.
You know,
saves us data cap, which I don't have right now. That's one of the only good things about the coronavirus is all the ISPs have lifted their data caps, which is good because my kids are at home for who knows how long, and they're going to be watching Netflix and Disney Plus for a while.
Well, one of the things I was thinking about was, this harkens back to like the old like PlayStation days with their memory unit cards that you would stick in. Thinking about, like, I could see people easily getting their label makers out and labeling on their 1 terabyte expansion disc, this has this game and this game and this has this game and this game. And you're just like swapping them in and out as you go through life, I guess. But
yeah, I'm going to,
that may be an oversimplification. I'm sorry.
I hesitate to liken these to memory cards because, you know, I can't God, that was so long ago. I can't even remember what a memory card cost back then. I want to say like $20 or $30. This is not that. A 1 terabyte NVMe SSD external, you know, expansion card. Like that's going to cost $200, $250. It's going to be expensive. So the idea of like anybody having like 3 or 4 of those and labeling them, that's really, I don't see people using it that way.
No, I remember trading memory cards with my friends back in the day. You take my save, I'll take your save.
We'll I'll trade you my PS2 memory card for one of these, dude.
Like I said, mine was like maybe an oversimplification of the whole thing, but like that's where my brain went to on it originally when I was reading through that. I was like, geez.
Yeah, and you're not alone. You're not alone in that. A lot of people are kind of are thinking back to that, and they're like, oh man, they're going to nickel and dime us and overcharge us for this stuff. And it's like, you know what? Yeah, they very well might. They very well might, because it is a proprietary connector and you know, all of these things. But this is also similar to that in that that was a weird transition period. You know, because it's like, okay, well, there were memory cards, but then there was also this console over here with a hard drive, and it could save all this stuff locally. So why do you even need memory cards? And so it was a weird transitionary period, and this is going to be that too. Anybody that thinks that, like, when Sony releases their information tomorrow or whenever, that their offering is going to be significantly different, it's not. It's going to be very, very similar to this.
Right. The only thing I gotta wonder if they're doing the same thing with the. They may use a standard USB 3.2 or
they
whatever
might.
That. They might. That might be a difference. Yeah, they may not have wanted to commit to a new kind of tech.
And they may just be willing to deal with that bottleneck, you know, because that's the thing. Like, that means that games that run off of that storage are gonna load slower than they would if they were on the internal storage.
And the texture streaming
and all that stuff
that needs that speed. Yeah, and the real-time ray tracing, you need that speed.
I mean, the Digital Foundry article by Richard Ledbetter that was published on Eurogamer, was it? I mean, that hurt my brain reading it, but it was really interesting to see all the specs behind it and all.
That's why I watched the videos. I was like, I'm not even trying to read this.
Unfortunately, I couldn't
at
the time, so I had to read through it. But it was just like amazing stuff. I mean, my favorite quote was, the Series X can run 4 simultaneous Xbox One S games with the current hardware, like just pumping them out, playing them differently. Like, that was mind blowing to me.
Yeah. The CPU in the Series X is 4 times as powerful as the one in the One S.
Also, the part where they have a dedicated core just for the OS on that, they the way they've designed it. And then if you watch that Digital Foundry video, they had put in some, I don't want to call it like, not really malware, but they had put in spyware in their own Xbox One operating system lately. And what it was doing is seeing how much texture memory was really needed for each game and how it was on screen, so that they could kind of figure out, okay, how do we make this more efficient and better? And they designed the Series X around those kind of things, that research that they had from their tracking software they had built into
machine
the OS,
learning,
which was pretty crazy.
I mean, it's going to be wild. I mean, we'll get more and more information as things come, but the Series X is shaping up to be pretty awesome. And like Hop said, we're going to get information on the PS5 finally. PlayStation is finally going to make some waves in this whole thing, so we'll see what they do.
Quick, random other news story, because that may change whether or not I buy a PS5, but there was a rumor that Sony may buy Metal Gear, Castlevania, and Silent Hill franchise from Konami. That's crazy if that happens, and there's a new Castlevania announced. I may have.
And they
to
said
get a
Kojima
PS5,
would be involved
if
they did that.
That's not the case.
Yeah.
With Metal Gear, because he's working for them now. That's crazy. I mean, just he left Konami because they were treating him like not what he wanted.
And then he made
so we'll
Death
see.
Stranding. I've heard good
Which
things.
Is,
I mean,
I don't. Yeah. Yeah, it's got mixed reviews, but a lot of people seem to really like it.
Well, what you know that. It, it's been kind of a crazy few weeks with everything that's been going on across the world, and then obviously Microsoft really stealing the show with their news cycle. But you know, we'll keep an eye on the news, and we'll definitely see what we can do about maybe doing a show after the PS5 stuff comes out. Last episode, we talked a lot about what's coming out this month in March. There's a couple of things going on, but please do consider, as you're making your purchases throughout the next few months, going to Amazon using the tag affiliate links that's located in our Discord server and on our website. We'd love for us to get a little kickback to help support things like the podcast, as well as the website and various other projects that we may do in the future. Amazon does a great job of supporting us. I did read recently, though, that Amazon's doing some things to help out with delivering of things due to the coronavirus stuff going on. So you might take a little longer than the typical 2 days to get your items. But anyways, support tag by using those affiliate links. I'm going to go ahead and skip the community question this episode because we have a lot of other interesting things that we want to get into. But I do have some community questions from a few of our loyal listeners I would love to ask on another episode, but keep sending those in to me. I could definitely use a bank of them. Hybrid, what have you been playing lately?
Yeah, so you know, I've been checking out the new Call of Duty Modern Warfare Warzone mode that dropped. You know, free to play. It's pretty good. We'll talk more about that later. But I've also been checking out Ori and the Will of the Wisp. Now, I never played the first Ori. This isn't typically the kind of game that I'm into. It's not really my genre. But I've been having a pretty good time with it. I think it's pretty great. Unfortunately, it kind of sort of runs like garbage on the Xbox. So I've been playing on the PC. And then I did recently pick up an Oculus Rift S virtual headset or virtual reality headset. So I've been playing a few things on that. Mostly Beat Saber. A lot of Beat Saber. How about you, Hop?
Well, I have been, I caught the Doom sale. Bethesda had re-released Doom 1, 2, and Doom 3, all running at, now they've patched them, Doom 1 and 2 now run at 60 frames with a nice 4:3 or 16:9 mode. There's a whole Digital Foundry video where he talks about that, and Doom 3, and they were all, you could buy all three of them for under $8. And to me, that was a steal because Doom 1 and 2, don't laugh at me, I've bought them at least 5 times. at least 5, if not maybe closer to 10 on Doom 1 platforms. I love that series. I love that game. I had a lot of fun with Doom 2016. I'm looking forward to Doom Eternal, which drops
it
this
looks
week.
So good.
I'll probably wait for a sale. Because I'm enjoying playing through Doom 1, 2, and the Doom 3 expansion, or the Doom 3 version that's out now, the remastered version, has a flashlight mod. It also has both expansions, which I never actually got to play through, so I'm going to play through those expansions. And also, I think this week, Doom 64 drops, which was a side sequel to Doom 2 that was only on the N64. It's a pre-order bonus if you pre-order Doom Eternal, but if I'm going to wait for Doom Eternal to go on sale, I'll probably just buy Doom 64 separately. So I'm playing all those. And then I also have been playing a lot of Call of Duty Modern Warfare and Modern Warfare Warzone. Having a lot of fun with that game. I'm glad that it's free, because a lot of people get to play it and I get to play. And the cross-platform gaming works amazingly. And I'm happy to play with our PlayStation and PC tag friends that I don't normally get to play with. It's pretty dope. What about you, Finn?
Same as you with the Call of Duty Modern Warfare, multiplayer and Warzone. I rolled credits on the single player, which was... Yeah, I mean, it's definitely enjoyable, and I love how it ties into the original Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare.
Right. It's kind of a soft... It's kind of like Episode 7.
Yeah,
of Star
I mean, it's
Wars.
A prequel, technically. So, yeah.
Sort of, but it's like it kind of writes over what was there before. Yeah.
So, and then I, like Hybrid, I've also been playing Ori and the Will of the Wisp. I played the first Ori and the Blind Forest and absolutely loved it. And I've been enjoying this one. I am playing on Xbox. You've been playing Ori and Call of Duty on PC, haven't you, Hybrid?
Yeah, that's right.
So, yeah, the Xbox definitely has some issues with Ori. It's got some freezing up and some random weird glitches that happen here and there, but it's been an enjoyable game nonetheless. It definitely has that same endearing creature that Ori is, and then the same storytelling that's going on. Soundtrack's amazing. I absolutely love the soundtrack.
Oh, I love it. Love the soundtrack.
I will probably end up buying the soundtrack as well once they release it. So, Anthem, what do you got going on?
A little bit of this, a little bit of that. I've been playing I was playing Apex a lot before Warzone dropped, and now I feel like I've been playing Apex and Call of Duty Warzone pretty evenly the last couple days. And I hopped on a little bit of Titanfall 2 yesterday, but other than that, it's been all Battle Royale for me.
All right, so Hop, what do we got going on game night?
Thursday night game nights with Tag is where we play a game with the Tag community. Most of us are on Xbox. That's normally we play games on Xbox. We used to do Halo night every Thursday. I'm going to pour out a beer for Halo night. It falls in the rotation every other week or so, but we've got some other games that we're playing. Battlefront 2, Destiny 2, Titanfall 2, Forza Horizon 4. If you have a suggestion, ping us on our Xbox Game Night channel on the Discord, and let us know if you got something that's fun to play. We should probably throw in some Rocket League again sometime soon, although Tainted will come and we'll pull our butts. What about what's going on, Anthem? What's going on with that stuff that's used to be printed on paper?
Printed on paper now. I mostly do audio form, but every Tag member can do as they like. We got the book club. Are You Dead chose the book this month. He chose The Blood of Elves. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Andrzej Sapkowski, the Witcher book.
Oh, it's the guy with the Witcher.
Blood of Elves is the second Witcher book, released in 1994. And it's a pretty good one. You don't really need to read them, at least the first two, which are the ones that I've listened to. You don't really need to do them in order, I would say. And they're written in a really unique style, kind of individual stories that tie together throughout, and there's sometimes an overarching theme throughout the entire book, but they're really well written and they're really great books, and hopefully a lot of taggers are reading The Blood of Elves, Witcher Book 2, this month.
All right, so I gathered you guys together. I mean, Hop and I are always here, but I gathered Hybrid and Anthem together for a very specific reason. Over the last few years, we've seen a trend in video games come around, which is called the Battle Royale. Have you guys noticed this?
I dabble. Could you explain?
I dabble.
So it's usually where like one person or a team of people work together to try to kill everybody else and be the last person alive or surviving or whatever. Yeah.
Last team.
And
standing.
You get something like a victory royale or, I don't know, chicken dinners and all sorts of different things.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I know about chicken dinners.
Oh, yeah. You feast on those quite regularly, Hybrid?
Yeah. Here and there. Here and there.
Well, yeah, so our deep dive this episode is about the Battle Royale genre, because I think it's fair to call it a genre now. It started, what, with H1, Z1, not N1?
Some people will claim it started with H1, Minecraft, H1, Z1. I think H1, Z1 is a good...
that is true. Yeah, there were Minecraft mods that were... Now, they were all based on... Oh, what's the name of that book series?
Hunger Games?
The Hunger Games, yeah. So it was the Hunger Games.
The Running Mod.
Which itself...
was based on previous, yes. Yeah, I mean, the idea of Battle Royale basically, I think, maybe goes as far back as the movie Battle Royale. That's the first, like, pop cultural reference to it that I know of. And everything Battle Royale-esque kind of takes hints from that since then.
Well, and that was based on a manga.
Oh, really?
Oh, see, I didn't know
Japanese.
That.
Japanese. Yeah. Well, now that... And the idea from the manga came from... trying to remember where the guy got it.
Jeez, I didn't know we were going to have an etymology lesson here.
I just looked up the Running Man book. That came out in 1985. I don't know if anything goes back farther than that. 82, sorry.
Oh, like they're saying, yeah. And maybe the Japanese manga for Battle Royale was inspired.
Could be.
You know.
Well, anyways, now we have Fortnite, PUBG, Apex. Call of Duty's had two goes at it now. Firestorm, and many others, including Forza Horizon 4.
Yep.
Had one. Yeah, I mean, Darwin Project. Like,
Paladins. Realm Royale, like, I mean, there's
Cuisine Royale.
What was that?
Cuisine Royale.
I did. Where you use kitchen?
Not dabbled in that one.
Is that Royale?
You use kitchen utensils. Was, it's interesting.
It's real goofy. It was a meme. Wasn't game.
There's like two that and Tabs, Totally Accurate Battle Simulator, oh, right, where. Yeah. April Fool's jokes that turned into legit games.
Right. Yep.
But anyways, they're all over the place now. I mean, they're coming up, and some major franchises like Battlefield and Call of Duty have even instituted their own Battle Royale into it. What's the best one? Let's just get that one out there.
The best one.
Well, then, I mean, that's. That's subject to interpretation.
I mean, I was right. Looking for a knockout, drag-out fight here, but okay, hop.
Yeah, so to my way of thinking, at this point, there's like a spectrum, right, where on one end you have arcade, right, and the top arcade battle royale is probably still Fortnite. Yeah. It's the most arcadey of all of them, and it just happens to also be the biggest battle royale period. And then way over on the other side, you have like the simulator almost, and PUBG's kind of towards that side of the spectrum. To my reasoning, PUBG is the best on that side. And then I'm kind of liking Warzone. I think Warzone's pretty good as far as an arcade battle royale is concerned. I could never get enough into Fortnite to play it long enough to kind of say whether or not it's better.
The building in that game that kept me out, but
yeah, I just can't do it.
Yeah, it's like a
same. That's I liked the graphics, I liked the design of the game. I could not get into the building that kept me away.
I would say I probably played the most out of everybody here. My brothers play a lot, and I have one brother who's like really good at it. And I probably played a year and a half of Fortnite.
Well, I mean, when I look around Tag and I think about like Battle Royale, like I think Hybrid, you are like our PUBG guru in many ways. Mm-hmm. And lately Anthem, you've been really kind of playing a lot of Apex.
Yeah, Time and I have been playing a lot.
And Hop and I have obviously spent a lot of time in Blackout as well as now Warzone, and I've dabbled with Firestorm a bit. But I do think, you know, I think B-Daddy may be like one of our last remaining vestiges.
True. And, true. Forgot about that guy.
Fortnite.
Is he in Tag anymore?
I played Warzone with him and his son. And that was a trip because his son is like a little clone of him, dude. You'll die. You're going to die because his son talks just like him. All that just East Coast sass.
No F-bombs. That's the only thing you don't get.
But he says all the other stuff. He's like, okay, guy, come on. I was like, holy crap.
I mean, he'll drop the F-bombs too. He just gets cussed out by his dad for doing it.
So yeah, I mean, when you look at it, obviously there is you're right, there's a spectrum. There's simulation and then there's arcade, and they fall somewhere in between. And you're exactly right as well, where there's this whole thing of it's opinion based. But I find it really interesting that like we saw Call of Duty come out with Blackout last year, and then now they have Warzone,
which I fell in love with. I loved it because it just, mainly because at the time when Blackout came out, PUBG was running like total trash, and I was tired of the crashing and the glitches.
It still is.
And the issue. Yeah, I know. But it was really bad over a year ago. It was in a really bad state when Blackout came out, and you know, a few other friends of mine, like, that were playing Rainbow Six and Fireman, they were like, oh, Blackout's really good. And I had not bought a Call of Duty game since Ghosts. Shout out to Tay. I loved Ghosts, and that was the last one I bought. I just, after that, I just kind of took a break. So I was hesitant, but what sold me was a bunch of taggers were like, oh, no, the Blackout mode's awesome. And I grabbed it, and I had a lot of fun with it. It's not perfect, but it ran. It was kind of – it was that one I would put almost right in the middle of what Hybrid was saying. It's not quite as slow as PUBG, not quite as sim, but it's also not as arcade as Apex or Warzone is.
You mean Fortnite?
Which may be why – and Fortnite, yeah. It may be why it kind of – it straddles the fence a little bit. That may be one of its weaknesses, that it didn't put one in end or the other. And I think with Warzone, the developers, the Infinity Ward guys, were like, well, let's go all in and just make it about the action and the frantic speed of the Battle Royale and not about the looting as much. Yeah. Which works for me. I like it. Well, it's fun.
Go ahead, Anthem.
The thing that I really have come to enjoy about Battle Royale games is like the scale of the battles that you can have. And Fortnite did it really, really well. Like, where you can have like six different teams fighting in like a pretty small area of space. The problem with Fortnite is that you have to be good at building, and it's really hard, and you have to keep playing the game to continue to be good at it. And so I just couldn't keep playing Fortnite and play other games at the same time. And I have a little bit of that with Apex, and I also feel like I have some of that with Warzone, where like I had a really cool fight a couple days ago in Apex, where it was like you're in a city and I was like on top of a building and there's people in other buildings and people sniping me from a mountain and people running around on the street, and you're like, you've got so much action going on in such a small, not a relatively small space with like different teams. And it's not something that I get with a game like 4v4 Halo or 4v4 Call of Duty or something, or even Titanfall. And so that is something that really gets me. And I think Warzone has a little bit of that, which I like. But I haven't played enough PUBG lately to know if you have that kind of same feeling in PUBG.
Yeah, I mean, so the thing for me that really stands out with PUBG compared to the others is that PUBG creates that sense of anxiety, that emotional response. Like when I win a match in PUBG, especially solos, even still, even to this day, there's a little bit of the shaky hand syndrome.
Yeah.
It's pretty
right.
Sweaty.
It's very sweaty. Yeah. All of the arcade battle royales, they don't do that. That's not what they're trying to do. They don't create that.
I had a little bit of that last night with Warzone.
I had
when I choked
real
our
sweaty
our,
war
our,
zones.
Our win.
Yeah.
It away. Wasn't you. It wasn't you.
But
I've had some really sweaty finishes on Warzone too, where we were.
But
really
I think that
close.
Might be
like,
because
fuck!
I'm new. Like the game just came out, and I'm not used to it, and I'm getting nervous in every.
Right.
I mean, I had a solo. You know, Warzone just came out with their solo mode today, and I got in the. I was down to the last three people, and I got third place, and I was like, my hands were getting sweaty. I was starting to shake a little bit because I was like, "Holy shit, I might be able to pull this off." So, you know it.
Yeah, and I may need to give the solo mode a try, because of course I haven't really felt that way in squads for PUBG for a long time. The biggest issue with PUBG, especially on consoles, is just that it runs like garbage. It always has.
Straight up.
It's like 2.5 years into the release now, and I mean, like, it's still crashing constantly. It still runs like garbage. They have no idea what they're doing.
If you don't have an SSD, you load in about 3/4 of the flight through the map.
Right. Right. And I mean, and the thing is, like, now you look at the competition with what Warzone is doing. Now you can't even use the excuse of, oh, well, it's a smaller map and it's fewer people and, you know, all of this. Like, I do still think computationally Warzone is probably less intensive. But the scale is just as big. It's more players. The players are in the game longer, because of all the different respawn opportunities and all the, so there's a lot of stuff going on in Warzone, and it runs fine.
And I,
like, it runs really well.
And I think the thing you just hit right now is the respawn opportunities in Warzone is changed the battle royale landscape for people like me who sometimes make really dumb decisions and take on a team of three by themselves. And but it gives me the opportunity to either respawn myself through the gulag, which I think is really cool mechanic, and or my teammates to buy me back in, and gives me that opportunity to play again rather than sitting there and go, all right, hybrid and anthem and hop, go ahead and just carry me the rest of this match after I died within the first 3 minutes.
Yeah. And I think it helps add to what I was saying earlier about like giving a bigger battle feel to the game, where, because sometimes in a traditional battle royale, everybody, like, there'll be a lot of big fights in the beginning, and then there's like, you'll have a giant circle and there's like 15 people left or something, right, and you're running around a long time for the rest of the game.
Yeah, that happens all the time in PUBG. Like, you land, and then, so like 3 minutes into the match, 60 people are dead. And, you know, you've still got 27 minutes to go. You know, like, what are we going to do now? You know, so it cuts down a lot on that. And I think that all of the respawn opportunities and stuff, that it makes the whole experience far more accessible to more people. I think a lot of the decisions they've made for Warzone are all geared towards that. It's, okay, well, let's take this genre that people seem to like, and let's make it friendlier to more people.
And that's always something that Call of Duty has been great at.
It keeps the game going, yeah. And it also, it's one of the things I think you and I talked about, Hybrid, like, I really want to love Apex because it's made by Respawn, but I can't. I like it, I don't love it. Now that Warzone's out, I don't know if I'm going to play Apex at all, really, anymore. It's almost too fast and too frantic to have any breathing time to figure out what you're doing. Yeah, and the respawns are hard because your team has to bail you out of one of those things, but the game's so fast that your team usually gets killed when they're trying to get you back out.
Yeah.
So it's like, for me, that game is tough, and the class system, and it's like, that game's more definitely a higher skill curve game. I think the really good players in that game are going to just dominate.
You have the hero component on top of it.
Yeah, it's different.
That's what I mean by the classes. Yeah, the hero classes. Yeah, that skill curve in that game's too much for my retired.
It's so funny you say that about the speed, because I've had two major complaints with Warzone. One, that I don't feel like it's fast enough. That's not my biggest complaint. My biggest complaint is the time to kill is so small. Like, I feel like you can die
really
so
fast.
Quickly, and it bothers me a lot. But another minor concern that I have with the game for me is that it's so slow.
Yeah, see, that's really interesting to me.
You obviously haven't.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
as somebody coming from PUBG, like, to me, I really, really favor PUBG still. Like, if it ran well, I would still just be playing that. But it doesn't run well, so I'm playing Warzone instead. But the pacing, I feel like, from PUBG is what I really like. And Warzone's pacing is closer to that than it is to Apex.
Yeah, Apex and Fortnite Apex is really fast, and Fortnite's pretty fast. You have more, I think, you have more choice of how you play in Fortnite. You can play it a little bit slower. In Apex, you really are forced. If you want to be good, you have to play fast. Yeah.
You have to go fast. Apex is like nonstop. You just hit the ground running, and there's no slowing down.
And I like... one thing that I like about Apex, and I think Blackout, I didn't play it enough Blackout, I think Blackout had this as well, but like the ability to go to a high altitude from being down low, like you can grapple up or you can use a jump pad, or there's a character that can climb walls really well, like Spider-Man. Like
Blackout didn't have that.
Oh, I thought there was a grapple gun in Blackout where you could grapple.
Oh, yeah, there is. Yeah, there is that.
Yeah, there was. Yeah.
So I think if Warzone had something like that, that would be
a
game changer for me.
If I could mix Warzone and Blackout a little bit, to me that would be That would be my favorite be cool. Battle Royale. If I could put in a couple of things from Blackout, like some of those options. I also was talking to McSwitch, and I miss in Blackout with the character models, you could get different color skin packs. So not everybody was the same ghost dude with the same cape. Like, they had different colors, and you could customize your character a little bit, which is fun. Sort of like PUBG does with all its little add-ons. Maybe they'll add mm-hmm. that later.
I mean, Warzone still technically in its beta, cool. but...
Is it really?
Yeah, true. It's still early.
Yeah, I think since they released it halfway through the Call of Duty season that is active right now, they're calling it a beta, but I'm assuming in about 20-some days when the new season starts, they'll maybe launch a full 1.0 of it. But, I mean, so I guess here's my question for you. What do you think is missing from Battle Royales right now in general, I guess?
Melee.
Like a melee again? Yeah.
Oh, like real melee.
Like a Star Wars Jedi lightsaber battle royale game.
Interesting.
I'm just something with like, oh, no, dude. Kung Fu, like a Chinese kung
What was that game? Martial arts Shadow Warrior?
It would be like a mix of a fighting game. Yeah. Shadow Warrior 2, the one we played, the co-op one. That would be, because the melee and the gunfire in that game were a ton of fun. If they made a battle royale that played like that, that would be pretty sick. Maybe a Halo battle royale, something with sci-fi in it. All the battle royales right now are pretty...
rooted in realism.
I would like...
military-esque. Yeah. I mean, Fortnite's a little in the goofy side of it, and then Apex is slightly sci-fi, but it's still like a run-and-gun shooter for... all intents and purposes.
It's kind of a cop out because Apex is kind of this, but I would really like a true Titanfall.
Dude, I was just talking to Fenn. I said with the technology that they built Warzone on, I could totally see a Titanfall battle royale working with that size map and making the Titan something really special. Like when a team gets a Titan, it's like, oh, crap.
Yeah, maybe, they got to be easier to take down, I think, too.
Maybe with these new hybrid NVMe SSD drives, we can start seeing those.
Yeah.
I know that Respawn said that the issue was with balancing. They felt like they couldn't balance the wall running and the Titans and everything very well.
Could you imagine like 100 Titans just running around a map? Punching each other and doing all sorts of crazy shit. I mean,
now we're getting into Mech Assault territory.
Right.
Oh, dude, I love Mech Assault.
Yeah, I think really all I want in the Battle Royale space at this point is for PUBG to have some quality real competition over on the simulator side.
It's true, it doesn't have any.
Yeah, like nobody's doing that. Everybody's developing over on the arcade side because they see the success of Fortnite and they see, okay, well that's the way. Like PUBG, that experience to me is just so much more exciting. It's just so bad. It's so poorly developed, and I just want them to have some kind of competition.
It seems like an untapped market because like it's been so long since Fortnite released, and there's so many other battle royale modes out, but PUBG still has a very respectable following, like a very decent player base.
Well, yeah. I mean, when I look at, I guess, compare Warzone and PUBG, because I think Warzone may be the closest we got to it right now, even though it has still a lot of more of the twitchy, arcadey things. You know, one of the things that I always had a hard time with PUBG, and I agree with you, Hybrid, I love the slower pace of PUBG, and then the weight, the heft that the game feels like it has as you're moving through the world, but the looting, to me, was always...
Right, it was cumbersome.
Yeah, that was a big thing that drove me.
It's, dude, Fen is way better recently than when it came out.
And that's all I've heard, but, I mean... Like, and since I've started playing it more recently and I haven't had as much time with it, I've noticed, like as I'm looting things in the house, the first house I land in, I guess, like, if I'm playing with you and Coco and Goo, like, you guys are already off on, like, six clicks away on the next houses after fully looted. Like, hey, Finn, where the hell are you at?
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you've been playing almost nothing but that game for, like, you know, 2.5 years, even with a clunky looting system, you get pretty good
at it. I kind of wish that, like, I could marry PUBG and Warzone together in a way. Like, I wish I could put those two together and have maybe some of the heft and weight that PUBG has inside of Warzone. Right. But maybe the looting and the respawn opportunities would be kind of cool, too.
That was one of my questions with Warzone. Like, I would like to see what Warzone would play like if you gave it as close to PUBG settings as you could, right?
They could. I mean, I don't think there's any reason why they couldn't try like hardcore Warzone.
Yeah, you remove
people may be down if they remove the loadout Dropbox and make it so that it's straight up loadouts and add attachments in the game.
And you remove all the respawn options.
That's how I'm playing now. The
gives you, because that's a big difference between Warzone and PUBG as well. Is Warzone gives you so much information.
Sure.
You know, you have the hit markers. You've got icons on the map for where all the vehicles are. You've got, you know, all this information. They've got, you know, like all the different things you can use to figure out where your opponents are. All of that stuff. Get rid of all of that. You know, like.
Right. Make it. Well, that's kind of, if you play the hardcore ground war, that's how that is.
There you go.
You have no radar. You have no any of
that.
You're just
like,
they gotta
fix the sound
really,
if they're gonna do that
really quickly.
I mean,
right. Yeah, they absolutely have to fix the sound. It's so bad.
That's a problem that I have with Apex too. That sound is like footsteps.
Right.
I never hear the footsteps.
I don't hear my enemy's footsteps, but I hear my teammate's footsteps, and I turn around and then get shot in the back.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
what about Firestorm? I never really played that. What did you guys play much of that? What was like the problems that you had with that?
I played a little bit.
I forget
it.
That it even came out.
Because that was probably more like PUBG style than any of these others that we're talking
about.
No.
The thing with Firestorm is interesting. And I find it interesting because Call of Duty just did this. Firestorm was announced when Battlefield 5 came out. Like, this was going to be part of this product, but it was just going to be a little bit later. But then it came out like 6 months later, and it had some issues when it first launched. Call of Duty just did the same thing effectively. They came out 4 or 5 months later after with their new Battle Royale. But they didn't announce it. We heard the rumors, but we didn't know for sure. And then all of a sudden they're like, hey, it's coming out tomorrow. Enjoy it. So those two comparisons are really interesting to see. But Firestorm had a really bad problem with vehicles early on with it, where if you got a hold of a tank...
Were they just
overpowered? They were just overpowered, and you had no real recourse of taking
like
a tank out.
Yeah. Vehicles in that game dominate. I mean, they dominate in the regular Conquest mode. Is that the mode in it? And then in the Firestorm, which is the Battle Royale mode, they're super overpowered.
And they did a better job of making it so vehicles were harder to get, as well as you had more options available to you to take them out. But no, getting a tank could easily set you up for success in that game, because... You know, back during World War II, you know, the tank was the, like, end-all, be-all. You saw a tank rolling down the road.
Right.
I mean,
yeah,
you could have 1,000 people sitting across the bridge, and you're like, shit, we're screwed. So
you got to prepare well in advance for something like that. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, so if you want a balanced game, you can't have tanks in it.
Yeah.
But if you want a battlefield battle royale, you have to have tanks in it.
So, I mean, they did some things, but the Firestorm was interesting because one of the mechanics in Firestorm that was very similar to PUBG is the guns didn't have ammo in it. So.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so you had to pick it up and then get ammo and then put ammo in it and reload it.
There was another similar thing in that the whole looting, equipping menu thing was kind of clunky, and that drove me crazy.
That definitely was a bit interesting because it didn't work like a backpack in a way. Like it was very weird how they did it. But it was fun. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the World War II ambiance of the whole thing. It was a cool experience, and the buildings could blow up and be destroyed, which was also a really cool feature that no other battle royale seems to do.
Now, why didn't they take that concept and do a version for Anthem and I to geek out on Battlefront 2?
Yeah, I don't know how well that would work, but I definitely would be very interested in trying it out.
You couldn't have heroes, that's awesome. For sure.
Which would be great.
No heroes. Yeah, that's fine.
But like, there's no ammo in Battlefront.
Anakin and just kill everybody.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's not really armor in Battlefront, but yeah, I think it would still be pretty fun.
And that's an interesting thing that I've been finding with Warzone is you jump out of an airplane with a pistol. Like, to me, that has been an interesting twist or change that I really enjoy, because now I don't feel completely useless when I land.
Right. Yeah, and I'll say I've killed more than a few people landing, like, just by turning immediately and getting them down with a pistol.
Yeah, and I think that has been nice, because one of my biggest gripes in Blackout was you could land, and if somebody got a hold of a gun before you, they picked it up and it was fully loaded, and they would wreck you, and all you'd have is your fists. And so you had to almost either land and make a decision, like, am I going to beat this guy to the shotgun that's always there, or am I going to run away and try to find something else and come back and kill him later? So, I don't know. I think the battle royale genre is definitely here to stay. Fortnite's proved that, I think. They are going to I'm curious to see what future games do. Halo came out and said, or 343 came out and said, the only BR we're interested in is our battle rifle. So I'd be interested to see if Halo does anything similar or along these lines, with Infinite coming out sometime in the next year or so. I know you guys mentioned some other IPs. Is there any IP that you just like think that would be primed for battle royales that don't have one yet?
I had an idea a little while back. How many of you guys played the game Speedrunners?
I played it. It was free with gold.
I don't think once. I tried it.
Yeah. I think a Speedrunners battle royale would actually be kind of interesting. Where, like, you know, you take the basic concept of Speedrunners, right, and then you scale it up huge, and you put kind of like 4 spawn points out on the corners of the map. Mm-hmm. And then everybody is speed running to some kind of like central thing that, and the closer and closer you get to the center, it just gets like way, way, way more difficult until eventually there's like a loop and it's just, you keep going until, you know, there's only one person left.
You know, that made me think of, did you ever play Fusion Frenzy on the original Xbox?
Yeah.
Where like they had like the spiral game where you had to like jump or duck under things as like an endless runner.
So. Yeah. Yeah, we could do that too.
I mean, God, I love Fusion Frenzy. We would play that all the time.
I have Fusion Frenzy downloaded on my Xbox right now.
So on Halo CE, I think there was a Fusion Frenzy demo.
Yes.
On the same disc. Me and my brother and my friends one night, like, finally decided to actually take a look at that, and we played the Fusion Frenzy demo for like 4 hours, and then decided to go to Walmart at like 2:30 in the morning and go pick up this stupid game. God,
it was such a clever game. But I mean, I digress, back to battle royale, but like, Hop, Anthem, any other IPs that you think could benefit from a battle royale mode?
Well, I mean, it was brought up already, but Mech Assault, I'd be totally
like
down.
Like, roam around looking for mech parts?
If they wanted to.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe you start, maybe your mech is kind of vanilla and it's only got a small minigun, and you can run around and get rocket launchers and boosters and stuff for it. Oh, dude, I'm frothing at the mouth thinking about all this.
That's cool. Yeah, that's nice.
Microsoft owns the IP. They could do something with it. Come on. Ooh, Crimson Skies Battle Royale. Airplane combat.
Now, how do you pick up items?
What do you drop in? How do you lose? Do you drop in out of a bigger airplane?
It's like
I don't know.
You fly
out of a blimp.
You have to land. You have to land at different airfields and get parts and upgrade, and then it would slow the game down. It would be like PUBG.
Fly through a golden cloud and come out with twin ray guns. I got it. I was thinking, I feel like something that's missing for me is like a true sci-fi based battle royale, something with sci-fi weapons, you know, something all of Mass Effect or Halo. Right.
I was actually thinking Mass Effect 2. Yeah. Like the Mass Effect 3, it was never PvP, it was always PvE, but I would be really curious to see if they could adapt something.
Yeah.
That was
such a fun.
I had pick
fun
up so much.
You could pick up like biotic powers or your engineer powers, overheat weapons,
or it might even be Hop would probably be against this, but it might be class based to have biotic or tech powers or soldier powers or something.
Yeah,
but
Crisis
would be sweet.
Oh yeah,
Crisis
get a bow, run around with that bow.
Turok.
dinosaurs just roaming around.
You know what? I mean, Ubisoft has the money to turn.
I was
Far
gonna,
Cry
yeah.
To
I was
Battle
just
Royale.
Thinking.
I can
yeah.
see that. I could see that succeeding.
Far Cry, I mean, Blood Dragon Battle Royale is what.
Oh,
we're
Jesus
about.
Christ!
Oh my Laser gosh! Eyes. Yes, Anthem wins. Anthem wins.
I want Blood Dragon 2.
All right. Do you guys have any final thoughts on this craze? Do you think it's going to end? Do you think one day VR will be done?
Well, I think it'll probably hit saturation at some point, and to where only the people that really enjoy it will keep playing it, and something else will grab people. That's everything, right? Everything kind of something new, people enjoy it. They're tired of the same old just team deathmatch or whatever modes. Right now it's a different way to play the same sort of shoot all your friends in an online game mode. I'm enjoying it. I hope it seems like it's going to stick around for 5 to 10 years. We'll see what happens going forward.
All right. Hybrid, Anthem, any final thoughts?
No, not really. I mean, I kind of agree. I think it's probably here to stay. It probably will eventually sort of taper off, and you'll have a couple big players that just kind of keep going forever.
Yeah. I think Warzone has made some good innovations in the genre, and I think there's going to be more games that pick up on what they've done and take things even farther. So I'm looking forward to seeing what we see.
All right. Well, that pretty much sums up our TagCast for this episode. I am Fenrir765. You can find me on the adultgamer.com Discord. Gentlemen, go ahead and sound off with where we can find you and what they can do with you, I guess.
Wow. You can do whatever you want with me. But I am Anthem space PT3 on Xbox.
I don't know if I
and
would say it like
Anthem
that.
No space PT3 on Steam. Don't play too much of that. Oh, and Anthem No Space PT3 on Hearthstone. Hit me up. New expansion just announced. Yep. Yeah, I probably won't play with you though, because I play once a month.
Hybrid, what about you?
Hybrid Havoc on the Tag Discord. And then you can find a bunch of other information about me at hybridhavoc.com.
Awesome. You can find me at the Adult Gamer Discord. Right now I'm Hop No Joestar. It's a reference to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. You can find me on Xbox Live as Hoptimus Maximus with a 1 in the Maximus. Down to play some Warzone or some Doom. Hit me
All
up
right. Thanks for joining us again for this episode. Take it easy and enjoy your St. Patrick's Day. Yes,
stay safe out there, everybody.